you started off taking pictures at a time in the late 1940s when it couldn't have been easy to be a female photographer.
Yeah, well, the observers sort of started it all, didn't they? I mean, in a way, they started doing what we called the weekend picture, and in the Sunday Times, somebody called Douglas Glass, who was doing big portraits. So they got me in to take little portraits.
And were you aware of other female photographers at the time, like Grace Robertson or Louise Dow Wolfe?
No, I met Grace later. I wasn't aware of anybody.
So that your vision was just yours?
Yes.
And then you just learnt as you went along?
That's it.
Do you think that's the best way?
It suited me, I suppose.
And never any interest in the equipment, or just purely interest in the person?
In the photograph.
In the photograph rather than the person?
Yes.
So was the end result more important to you?
I was thinking I'd do lovely things about the pictures. Because it was exciting, wasn't it? You go on and you take your picture. That's what's a surprise. Having to do it, you know. Then you get the film back and then you get it processed. Then you look at the contacts. Then you think, oh, ah. Then you get the prints. It's a sort of long-going thing that kept me happy for years.
Kind of a magical process with,
yes,
the chemicals and the lenses.
That's right.
But you were in incredible situations and met incredible people. Some of the greatest names of the 20th century.
The Observer was something.
Yeah. I know you were always passionate about the Observer.
It was difficult not to be. David Astor was an amazing man. We were his kindergarten. You know, we had Philip Toynbee and Patrick O'Donovan and...
A golden age.
But thanks to David Astor, he was amazing.
Do you think your career would have gone in the same direction if you hadn't been so closely connected with the Observer newspaper?
No, I don't think so at all. Then, of course, the bonus has been meeting Luke, who loves all my things and keeps working away on my behalf.
With the weekly picture in the newspaper as well?
Yes.
What was it like when one week you were with the Beatles and photographing them? And then the next, it might be a politician.
I was absolutely innocent then. I don't even know how he got to them.
But you photographed Beatles twice, on two occasions. Once very early, and then during the Magical Mystery Tour.
That's right, because we lived in Sevenoaks. And they came to Noel Park. We were walking in the dark, and there they were.
There the Beatles were?
Yes.
So it pays to always carry a camera.
Had to go back and get it.
But they must have had respect for you from the earlier pictures you'd done as well. Did you find that was a mutual respect as you went on?
I don't know about respect, but I mean, it was just... They arrived... Where was it? Somewhere in the East End, wasn't it? And it arrived very early to get away from the crowds, you know, all their followers. So they turned up early and they were sat in this room for about 2 hours. And I sat with them. Somebody said, I miss her. Go, and Ringo said, oh, we like her here. Let her stay.
But you always counted yourself as a one-shot photographer.
That's right.
Not a story, not
oh,
creating
never.
Stories.
It's bad on the magazine.
So it's about one image.
Well, I'd always take more than one, but I mean, I was always looking for that one shot.
But you'd rarely shoot more than two rolls of film, is that right?
That's right.
So you were very tough on yourself.
I don't think so.
No? But today photographers would shoot rolls and rolls or hundreds of images with digital to get that one shot.
And what's your... don't get it.
What don't you get about it?
I don't know. David Mansell. He used to work for us. Oh! If he was photographing a cabbage, he'd take about 500 shots.
So on the basis of if you shoot 500, you're bound to get one.
You're not, are you? Because I used to find that when I arrived, I bought on Pisces, so I've got good instincts. And I'd either be there at first or last. If I started shooting a lot in between, I would know I'm not doing any good at all. It's what I saw first that always mattered, or last.
Was it about a short period of concentration, do you think?
Yes, but also we weren't allowed that much time, and I had to get used to it. I remember Rosemary was in Jane. She only takes 5 minutes. That's when I had to go on to people like Robin Williams and things. And I was only allowed 5 minutes. So I got used to working 5 minutes. Wonderful.
And do you think, as your career went on, did people start to realise that the importance of being photographed by Jane Bowen?
Yes, not. I didn't take it that seriously. Because I was never meant to be a portrait photographer.
What were you meant to be?
Well, down there, I've got a few pictures up in the room, which you can see. I mean, I just used to like taking pictures. And you should best one on her. I'm sorry about this.
Don't worry about it.
On holiday, you know, I sort of see things.
So it was observational?
Yes.
Whether it was a commissioned...
If I saw something, I'd feel sick inside.
That you might miss it? So was that important, do you think, to try and let people know what you were thinking, what you were seeing, trying to try and convey that message?
Yeah, I just sort of see things that I thought made nice pictures, but that's all.
But you photographed Cartier-Bresson and Cecil Beaton, and to photograph Cartier-Bresson is not someone who likes to be photographed.
No, that's right, well, he hid. I think he put up something up in front.
I think he put his camera up, didn't he?
Yes.
His Leica.
Yes.
But you still got the picture. Were you interested in other photographers?
No. Don't think I've ever looked at anybody else's. I'm hopeless.
So it was very much, it was your personal journey with the camera.
Yes.
Do you think that's something that has got lost now? People are seeing too many other images.
That's right. It's far too much. I don't know. I'm not good at this. It's true, isn't it, though?
But were you looking at paintings? Were you, how so everything came naturally, composition?
Yes.
And I know you would take a light reading by looking at the light on the back of your hand.
That's right. What could be easier?
And would just turn up with... One camera, two cameras?
But don't forget, when I was doing it for The Observer, a lot of the time, I'd go along in an interview. And, you know, you'd have your hour slot. I'd go with a journalist like Andrew Quinn or somebody. And they would take 55 minutes of that hour, and I'd be left with five, having to work very quickly.
When I'm in the same situation, I always say the photographer has to take the picture first. And then the journalist second.
That's right.
Well, did you do the same thing?
Right, tried.
It's not always easy.
No.
Because a picture has a certain cut-off point when you know you've got it.
Yes.
Whereas a conversation can go on forever.
Oh. Yeah, I suddenly feel quite happy, slightly came down and think that's it. But I was only looking at actually what Luke has done. He's gone through all my... every single contact ever, and looked at strips of film which The Observer would have tossed aside because they'd be just looking for their one. I mean,
yeah.
And he's found all sorts of things, but he's also found things with a sort of surround. I mean, he's lovely one of Nureyev, which I never knew I'd take, but there's sort of two things. Light blocks or something, I don't know, but it just makes a picture, and that's what he's doing. He's finding what I was getting in him behind as well as in front. I didn't even know I was doing it. I think I had a good sense of to sign.
During the Second World War, you were involved, you were a Wren.
I was a Wren.
On plotting maps?
Yes.
Do you think that had any part in your understanding of...
No.
There was no visual... I know you went to art school.
Not for long.
But you learned from great teachers there.
Yes, from Marvis Chapel, Lee Ford Thomas. I don't think I learned anything. I only learned it when I got my own camera. I looked through an Aeroniflex. I just could not believe what I saw. And I saw the cow's eye. I can't use a Rolly, right? But I think it's a wonderful camera.
But you say you also used to love train stations and airports.
Oh yes, or people. I can watch people for ages. I can watch them going up and down here. I think it'd be a marvellous picture taken from this door. It's a funny sort of country town.
That's Alton, where you're currently living.
Yeah. Moved here 18 months ago. Lived here 40 odd years ago.
So you've returned...
So we brought it back.
To the same house?
It's the same house. Jane Austen's house. Or her brother's house.
Do you feel a cultural feeling from the house? Is there a special feeling? You seem to be very much driven by your own personal way of seeing things.
Yes, well, I don't know. I'm not... I'm finding it hard at the moment. I think I'm withdrawal symptoms.
From taking pictures?
From pictures. From the life of the observer. That was a long haul.
Yeah, it was a long time to be with one. You must be the longest photographer to have been with any publication. So it was from 19...
Well, yeah, Marvis had it gone publishing them, weren't they?
Yeah. Your work's as fresh now as it was when it was first taken. Still as influential to people.
I never saw what was special.
Maybe that's what's so special. You never had a need to market yourself or to try and get work, because every week work was coming to you and allowing you to,
yes,
to go on your own journey.
I was really lucky, wasn't I?
Well, maybe they were very lucky.
Well, that's how it was at the Observer. We were all lucky.
What's your feeling now looking back at those, at the work? Do you see it as a body of work? As a series of separate images, or?
No.
Do you look back at the work?
Well, I'm going to know when Luke's bringing this book out. What's it called, Assignment?
I think it's called Exposures.
Exposures.
I think so. But you must be one of the most published photographers as well. There are many books of your work available.
Yes, same with pictures.
not really. I've been through a lot of them. There are lots of different images. Lots of reportage of English life.
Well, that's what I used to like. I used to do it all on holiday. With children. Go to Norfolk.
So there wasn't much difference for you between personal work and working for the Observer. It was all photography.
Yes.
It was all
connected. I didn't think I could have worked for anybody else, although even was out of work.
I remember commissioning you for the Tatler, and you just went. I gave you no brief. I just asked whether you could go and photograph somebody, and you went and you did, and the pictures came in, and they were beautiful, and we ran them. It's very simple. It's not often like that with photographers. Were you aware that it was that simple?
No, I found a lovely picture the other day. My son Hugo found it. Leslie Caron. Absolutely beautiful. these things are surfacing. I was back in loop for 100.
They often say that editing images with the benefit of time gives you a completely different approach to your work. And you often wonder why you didn't see a particular image at a particular time.
Well, I think partly with the paper, picture editor, once a picture, I mean, they mark up three, and that's it, isn't it?
And you would leave it to the newspaper to choose which image?
Towards the end, I started slipping. No, I don't know. In the end, I gave the picture. We had a sort of crazy editor called Tony McGrath. It was very willful and difficult.
How was it when you came to photograph the Queen? How did your approach work in that context?
I was being a bit jerky one day in the office and I said, why don't we write to the Queen? See if she'd be happy to have her picture taken for her 80th birthday by an 80-year-old. And the next day they rang up and they said, the Queen would be delighted. It sent me into a fit.
So careful what you wish for.
I know, surely it come true. Anyway, I went along the day before, travelled down all those passages, found a room, she found it, saw there was a rather nice chair in it, so I was pretty get up about it all, and there was a nice window. Lots of light coming in, but then of course it had to be the next day and I thought everything would change, but it didn't. The light was good. And she was sweet. She was, I mean, there was no more to it than that.
And you took your one camera, two cameras?
Two.
In a carrier bag?
No.
In your handbag?
No.
In a proper camera case?
No, just held them.
Just held the cameras. And how many rolls of film?
Three, because she said one stage, you've only taken two films. Would you like to take another one? So I said, well, yes, please. So she was sweet.
Were you happy with the image?
Thrilled with it. I couldn't believe my eyes.
Did you have a preconceived idea before?
No.
You went in? Do you ever have a preconceived idea?
No. Never.
It's all about the moment.
You don't do.
I have an idea in the back of my mind which allows me to feel confident enough to go in. And then
yes.
The moment I start taking pictures, it goes.
Yes.
Is that something you recognise?
All I used to do was, don't forget, it's always time. Those are my worries, light and time. I'd make sure it was a good light. It's the first thing I'd go for, see where the light was. Make them sit in it. I mean, it's so easy, really. And once I'd got the light on, I'd just put, play it off the cuff a bit. I never knew what I wanted. Just look them straight in the eye. It's odd that I was never, not really a portrait photographer.
What sort of photographer are you?
Well, we'll go down there in a moment. I'll show you those few pictures.
How would you describe your work? A lot of photographers would say that the decisive moment is a contrived moment. Would you agree with that?
No. I don't think I ever contrived anything. I think I just told the truth, what I saw.
And would you advise the person to move this way or to... Would you direct them?
Only. If it wasn't quite right, I'd say a little bit more this way, a bit more that way. Working was no time and just daylight. And the witness took lives.
And you knew when you had the picture?
As a rule. You know, you get that wonderful feeling, don't you?
An excitement.
Yeah. I mean, I did one the other day. I haven't done much recently, but I have a girl who works here. And she has this beautiful daughter, Charlie. I took a picture of Charlie, and it was just so amazing. I couldn't believe it. All the quality, it all came back.
Why was it so amazing? Was it the light? Was it?
It was the light. It was just me. It just caught her. Emma was so thrilled.
It's like that question of a great portrait being more than what the person was wearing on the day. If you can go slightly deeper. But many people said that's a trust that you can bring out of somebody.
I don't know. See, I don't see what I do. I don't even know why people don't paint pictures like I do. You know, same. It's not that difficult, is it?
Many people make it difficult.
I used to hear them talk, how are you going to do it? And I said, well, I don't know. I'll see when I get there.
Did it ever go wrong?
Oh, yes, it must have done. Well, I never came back without a picture, but...
Some would say that you'd had, the way you worked would require a huge amount of confidence in your own abilities. You don't seem like that kind of person to me.
I don't think I had any confidence at all. I knew what a 60 is. I used to make a joke about this when the film was there. I'd call a book a 60, it was 2 age or something. Because I always knew I'd have like same exposure, same light. I knew how my hand had to look to be a 60th or 2-8.
That's an incredible ability to have nowadays when everything is automatic.
It was time. You know, had to work quickly.
So that there was obviously a confidence in your vision.
Well, I don't know that. I used to go and surprisingly incompetent. But I knew I used to always come through, didn't I?
I would say so. There are many people who tried to do what you've done and been able to do that, been unable to do it.
I don't think I've done that much with you.
Would you say that your way of working was a very female way of working?
I don't know, I suppose I don't know, he was working intuitively. Hello, Pussy. This is Mona. That's why she's called Mona.
There have been a number of, as I said before, a great female photographers of the last century. But not a huge amount. But there seems to be a tendency, Grace Robinson or Louise Del Wolfe or Eve Arnold, for a certain quirkiness in their approach. More humane. Do you agree with that with your work, do you think?
Quirky.
Or humane?
Humane. I think so. I love people. That's the first thing.
So a love of people, and then secondly, a love of photography.
Yes, I think I do love people when they look at you. I suppose it's quite a hard thing to do, keep it up for so long.
The taking of pictures.
Mm. Then of course I got more confident, more, and I could go in very quickly and get some.
And you were shooting how many? 2-3 shoots a week?
Oh, no, not so much as that. Well, probably 2.
Are there any in particular that stick in your mind as being either particularly successful or difficult or enjoyable? Are were there moments you look back on?
I love doing you too.
You too?
Yes.
What was so special about photographing them?
Well, I went to Ireland, Dudley, and Golden was my ears now, he's sweet. Sorry about Bernie's. He thought I was, they wanted me to do it, because he thought I was the right photographer. It was just fun, I mean, it was just sort of...
It's a very different world for you to be involved in.
Well, down there I've got a book called Rock.
Of all the musicians you photographed? From Mick Jagger to Bono to...
Yes. Sinead O'Connor on the cover.
Do you think you brought something different to that world when they're perhaps used to being photographed by, with you too, or it's being photographed by Anton Corbijn, who is a very traditional graphic photographer?
I always think I was a bit of sort of oddball.
That's the quirky.
Which I mean, I'm sure I must have seemed like an oddball. My youngest son is rubbing it in now how short I am. I never realised I was short. So it's a funny little oddball.
A number of the great female photographers I've just mentioned are also not extremely tall.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something about the viewpoint.
That's what he says.
Well, there we go. Maybe it's a question of seeing it from a different angle.
He likes to tease me.
But you weren't aware of any of this when you were working?
No. You know, you went on a job, a certain amount of apprehension. You know, you'd have to come. I mean, you know, some people are much easier than others. I always liked writers, you know, authors and things.
So was there often a love of the work before you met the person? You didn't often get to photograph or to meet your heroes? Or did you not have any heroes? You started off by photographing Bertrand Russell as your first portrait. That's quite a start.
Yes, I got a telegram from Mechtild Nowiaski, known to come to it, saying you're photographing Bertrand Russell tomorrow morning at the Daughters Hotel with his new wife. And that was my first job on the Observer.
Mm.
I went on petrified.
Of taking a picture or of the man?
Well, the whole job, the idea of doing it. I was thrown in at the deep end.
Do you think that's the best way to learn?
Then Rick went on asking me to do more and more. In the end, obviously, I got used to it.
What advice would you give somebody who was going to try and become a photographer or try and create their own way of taking pictures?
Just look, isn't it?
Is that the key?
Looking.
Not learning how to use the equipment?
No.
Not learning about how to do things with computers?
No.
Not the latest camera? Just to look. It seems to be what your whole career and all your pictures have been about.
To see, we suddenly see something. It was a very short period, really.
What was it, the short period of your career?
Yes. Just doing all those things.
Nearly 45, 50 years. Quite long, really. But no, over. Over 60 years. That's a long period. And quite an archive. Which I presume is all still with the Observer.
Yes. Luke's in charge. Let me see. He's very strange, Luke, because he just said, I'm doing another book. And he's done it all. Hasn't even shown it to me.
And you're happy with that? Many photographers wouldn't be.
With Luke, yes.
You have complete trust.
Yes, Luke's wonderful. He thinks I'm wonderful, so.
Well, that's rather a a nice thing to have. So where do you think now will you be taking more pictures? The excitement you got recently from taking, you're still taking pictures when you can.
It's like, love that one I did of Charlie, and the Sunday coming from the Observer on Sunday.
To be photographed?
Yeah.
Is that an exciting prospect?
No.
Because it's a commission.
I got talked into it, but I photographed somebody called Ron Atkin, I photographed him and Julie Welsh, who married him, and now they've got a grown-up son and he's just got engaged and they want me to do the pictures.
Mm.
But I'm a bit handicapped.
But you've still got your eye?
I've still got my eye. I've still got my right arm.
That's all you really see? And you've still got your Olympus of M1?
Yes.
And it'll still be two rolls of film?
Yes.
Not three?
Three is bad. If I have three, it means I'm failing.
Or you're photographing the Queen.
Well, she was just number three. She's sweet.
So would you still take pictures of things you for your own enjoyment now? Even from...
Well, yes, I would, but it's different now, isn't it? I mean, the days when kids were small and we were going to places, I'd see things. I ought to do things here.
Mm. Well, we're sitting here in the hallway.
You see, going past, can you see?
Yeah. W. Eugene Smith, the American photographer, who I don't know if you're aware of, was a great photographer.
Yes.
For Life magazine. He went through a bad stage in his life where he painted the windows of his apartment black so that he couldn't see out. And as he came through the bad stage, he started to scratch away at the paint and photograph through the paint of what he could see through the window. And to me it just shows, as with Sudek in the Second World War, when he could only photograph the things from his window.
Yes.
And the still lives he would put on that window ledge. That an image can be very close to you. You don't always have to travel.
No, I prove it. I did not sometimes.
So maybe that's the next project.
I showed one to take a picture. I went outside the back door and did a milk bottle. Next project, Luke says he's going to do all sorts of pictures. Do you want to go down and see the pictures down there?
But first of all, thank you very much.
Well, I don't think I'm... It's like getting blood out of a stone, isn't it?
I don't think so. I think probably your pictures speak, or have spoken for you. But thank you anyway.
Thank you.